Welcome. Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and we are coming to you live at 3 p.m. Pacific time. We stream live on the internet at richarddugan.com, and we encourage your calls today because today we open up the phone lines with our three-minute astrologer, and we already have callers that are going to be calling in, and we're going to ask you to just stay on the line. We'll be getting to you in just a moment. We want to bring to the phone lines in just a moment also David Hawthorne, who has a website called astroview.com, astroview.com. You can also contact David at the email address of david@astroview.com. That's david@astroview.com, and we'll be going to him in just a moment. I just want to let you know that we come your way every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time, and we stream live on the internet at richarddugan.com. The programs are archived. You go to the radio shows page, bingo, the very last program that we had on the air live, and in this case, it's going to be this one later this afternoon, is going to be there for you to listen to again. If you call in and you get a reading and you just didn't get all the information, then go to richarddugan.com radio shows page, click on the play button, and it will play for you, or you can download it and listen to it at your heart's content. You can contact David at a later date as well, because he'll be taking down your information and having it correspond with this radio program as well. So he knows basically who you are when you touch base with him via email or otherwise. We also want to let you know that we'd like to hear from you, and our email address is richard@richarddugan.com. That's richard@richarddugan.com. You like that, how I went from singular to plural and back to singular in one fell swoop? It's just an amazing thing, and it's just a weird thing. The tenses in this language just drive me nuts. We are very excited to have you back on the program, David, to share with our listeners that proverbial roadmap, if you will, that is going to assist them. One of the things that when we have time to talk about, David,
okay,
is the kavach. I want more information on that wonderful little medallion that has a series of numbers that correspond with the individual's Vedic astrological sign and other information. I want to go into a little more detail when we have time to do that. But first, we're going to go to our first caller, and I'm going to take a guess here. No, I'm not psychic. Is this Andrea?
It is.
Andrea, you are on the line with David Hawthorne. Now, he needs, obviously, he now has your name, needs your birthplace and birth time. I think the time first.
Oh, date is first.
No, I'm sorry, date first.
Okay, October 8th, 1956, and it's 4:19 p.m., and I was born in Oceanside, California.
Beautiful. And Oceanside is one word, yes?
Yes.
Okay, October 8th, 1956 at 4:19 p.m. in Oceanside, California.
Yes, correct.
Okay, very good. All right. So this is David Hawthorne from astroview.com. Today's February 6, 2010. I'm here in Iowa where we've got snow on the ground and we're just dreaming about Santa Barbara, California.
Yes, well, we're doing well.
We're going to do a Vedic astrology reading here for Andrea, and we are using Vedic astrology from India, which uses the sidereal zodiac. We're not using tropical zodiac used by Western astrologers, because that's based on a fixed position of the stars 2,000 years ago. We like to do the horoscopes for the person based on the position of the stars at the time of your birth, so it's much more accurate. Over the last 2,000 years, the Earth's rotation, the wobble of the Earth, as it were, has thrown off those two different zodiacs by 23 degrees. So basically, if you subtract 23 degrees from your Western astrology chart, you arrive at your Vedic astrology chart. So having said all that, let me get into the reading here. This is more important. But based on your date of birth, place of birth, time of birth, this gives the Aquarius rising sign, which is an air sign. And air sign persons are very intellectual. They're very intelligent. There are only three air signs of the 12 signs in the zodiac. Air signs are the intelligent, creative, inventive types that contribute to society. Now, Aquarian is unconventional, imaginative, humanitarian, and I call them angels of delight. They live in the future. They're very brilliant people. A lot of my Aquarius clients are teachers, publishers, consultants, advisors, seminar leaders, do-gooders. They want to help society. Now, in this chart, you have Mars in Aquarius. It makes you very courageous, and it brings fierce independence to you. I think you like to be very independent and do things your own way. It can also bring a real estate property. So Mars in the first house is considered quite good. Now, just so you know, in the future, your most favorable planets include Sun, Mars, Jupiter, Venus, and Saturn. Those five planets will never do any harm to you whatsoever. And it is important for you to strengthen those five planets, especially if any of those planets are considered weak. So in your case, there are two planets that are considered weak that I would work with, and you will feel much better in life. Number one, I would recommend you wear a 2 to 5 carat blue sapphire gemstone. It can be worn on the middle finger of the left or right hand, and the back of the pendant, the back of the ring should touch the skin, the back of the stone. So it's called an open setting. Just make sure that when the jeweler sets it, that the stone touches the skin. You can, yes, also wear this as a pendant as a necklace, but you will love a blue sapphire gemstone. It is so good for your health, your reputation, your longevity. It will help you with your teeth, neck, back, spine, knees, joints, and ankles. Now, because Saturn ruling your chart has gone into the 10th house of career, it's important for you to be involved in the field of action, karma, professional life. Now, your Saturn is not sitting alone. It is sitting with the northern node of the moon called Rahu, R-A-H-U, to the exact degree. And it's under the aspect of the southern node of the moon, K2, to the exact degree. Now, what that does is that's going to cause highs and lows in your life. It's going to cause you to swing between desire for material success and desire for spiritual success. In other words, sometimes you will say, I want, I want, I want. And other times you're going to say, I don't want, I don't want. In other words, sometimes you're going to be very material-oriented, and sometimes you're going to be very spiritual or reclusive-oriented. And this Rahu and K2 can cause imbalance of Saturn, ruling your health, your reputation, and your longevity, and the body issues I talked about, the teeth, the spine, the neck, knees, joints, ankles. I would recommend that you take cod liver oil capsules to keep your joints nice and fluid. So three capsules a day, 3 to 5 capsules a day should be good. Cod liver oil, very good for this chart. And wearing dark blue colors, navy blue colors, black colors, these are also quite good for you. Now, one other gemstone and remedy for this chart is for you, you would benefit very much from wearing a ruby gemstone, because this is for the sun, and sun in your chart has gone into the 8th house. This can cause obstructions, delays, disappointments, and setbacks relative to marriage, relationships, and partnerships. So this is a difficult position for Sun in the 8th house. It makes some vulnerability. It can also weaken your heart and your blood pressure, and it's not necessarily ideal for longevity for your father, or it can cause some problems relative to your father. So if you wear about a 2-carat ruby gemstone as a ring on the ring finger of the right hand or left hand, or as a pendant on a chain, you will actually improve the sun and support sun in this chart, ruling marriage, relationships, and partnerships. Now, you do have Guru Shukra, that's Jupiter and Venus, in the house of marriage. So it can bring some good fortune into marriage and some gains through marriage. And because Jupiter aspects your 11th house, you can gain income through publishing, teaching, consulting, and advisory roles. And because Jupiter aspects your 3rd house, you can have some independent activity connected with the same. Anything from publishing, teaching, consulting, religion, and law, those are also quite available. I like the Venus-Jupiter in your house of marriage. I think that's a good thing. But I do think because the ruler of the house of marriage is in the eighth house that causes some problems with relationships. One last major point in your chart that's extremely powerful is that you have the influence of the southern node of the moon, K2, within 1 degree of your Mercury. Now, what that does is it gives you psychic ability. Never doubt your intuition. You have a very enlightened mind. You have a very spiritual, enlightened mind. But I do think this also causes some setbacks and obstructions with marriage, inheritance, windfalls. There can be some old karma involved in accidents. So we want to do a few of these remedies. We can finish the reading by discussing the timing of events. You're just finishing a 10-year cycle that is okay, but it's going to be better in May when you go into 7 years of Mars. See, this past 10 years, you've been running Moon. Moon has been, it's called Chandra Mahadasha. That's Moon main period. And this started in May 2000. It runs until May 2010. Now, Moon for you is well placed. It is in the house of career. It connects you with the public, teaching, entertainment, hospitality, hotels, restaurants. But two things. Number one, Moon rules the sixth house, so it's not really a beneficial planet for the Aquarius rising sign. The remedy for Moon, by the way, is not to wear pearls. Get rid of any pearls you have. Either sell them or put them in a safety deposit box. Pearls for you brings conflict, disputes, could bring financial issues, mental tension, conflict, litigation. It's not a favorable planet for you. But the remedy for Moon is to help your mother or your mother-in-law or elderly women on Mondays and avoid wearing white colors and pearls. In the future, don't buy a white car, don't buy white clothing. It's not good for your chart.
How is
now,
that?
Your moon is in its debilitation sign, and that does undermine your health and finances. And sometimes other people don't know how to approach you emotionally, and you can even intimidate people. They're a little bit afraid of you. So just be a little friendlier. Try to be careful not to get in conflicts and disputes. And also it's important for you to take care of your emotional state. If you start to go down emotionally, it's going to last no more than about 6 to 12 hours. But when you see yourself going down emotionally, then turn off the stuff that you don't like and turn on stuff you do like. In other words, go to movies, the museum, the beach, the theater, go to restaurants, whatever you want. But go do something to cheer yourself up, get your emotional stuff back on. It'll take about 6 to 12 hours, and then you'll be back on track again. So these are some of the main points. You are going into Mars in May for 7 years. Is Mars favorable? Absolutely favorable. It rules the house of independence, self-expression, mental development, entrepreneurial success. And it's sitting in the first house. It is considered strong and well-placed, and this will give you great success during the 7 years, provided you strengthen the dispositor, the landlord for Mars, which is Saturn. So go get yourself, treat yourself to a 2 to 5 carat blue sapphire gemstone. And as Richard was mentioning earlier, on my website, astroview.com, you can click on Planetary Remedies, and you can click on Mystical Pendant. And there's something called the Kavach, which is a little silver medallion, a little mystical pendant, and it actually replaces the need of expensive gemstones. So you can either get one of those, which are very economical and very powerful, or you can go get a nice blue sapphire gemstone, a ruby gemstone. Those are great for you. It's safe for you to wear a red coral. It's safe to wear a yellow sapphire. It's safe to wear a diamond. But avoid pearls and emeralds. Those are negative for your chart. These are the main points. I hope this was in the ballpark.
How was that for you, Andrea?
Fantastic. Just to give you a minute of what's been going on, my husband died in 2005, and I've been on a 5-year journey of studying to be a minister of spiritual peacemaking, traveling with my one daughter to Jonas Brothers concerts, and finding that I had something to write about that was really, that became a spiritual journey. And
very
that
good.
I just finished a year of clearing out an 11-room house, selling it, and moving from Maryland to California. My daughter and I are living out of youth hostels for you know, I'm saying a year because I don't know how long. So this is all really fascinating.
The 10 years of Moon has not been ideal for you. It rules the sixth house of health issues. Sun ruling your seventh house of marriage is in the eighth house, is what I said. Now, I didn't want to tell you earlier, eighth house is the house of death.
Okay,
that's why
I
was saying as delicate as I could that there is a problem relative to husband in this chart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I'm sorry for your loss. I'm sorry for your loss, but you are Aquarius. You're an unconventional, imaginative, humanitarian, angel of delight, living in the future. Be creative. You're going to love your 7 years of Mars. It's going to give you lots of courage, independence. If you want to write, because your Mercury's in the eighth house, you need to write about mystical experiences. But I think the Mars is more connected with action, courage, real estate, property, self-expression. So you just be courageous, be bold, enjoy your seven. It starts in May.
Yay!
And you'll notice.
Thank you.
All right. Well,
okay.
Wonderful.
Very good.
Well, Andrea, thank you so much for calling, and we hope you'll keep listening.
Thanks so much, David, and thanks, Richard.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. And that's how easy it's done. Just give us a call, 866-564-1290. If you're listening live on the Internet, you're outside the 805 area or inside the 805 area, just add 805 to 564-1290, 866-564-1290 or 805-564-1290. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. And we certainly hope that people are beginning to dream more. It seems as though a lot of people get stuck. And David, you had mentioned something right before we started the program today, which I thought was very interesting. You mentioned that you and your wife are going to be going out and enjoying some wonderful music this evening. And of course, we said, hey, we're going to be here in Santa Barbara next week, next Friday. We're going to be going to a wonderful performance of some music, ballet and concert and singing, and how important and needed that is right now.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. With the economy, with Haiti, with all the crazy stuff going on in the world, it's so important. You know, I think that it's important to have, you know, intellectual capability. It's important to work. It's important to have spiritual progress. But I think it's also the arts are very much, you know, part of the soul. They're really nourishing. And all of us should, you know, we should have some artistic connection on some level. But, you know, one of the things I thought we would chat about for a moment, if you've got people, I'd be happy to do readings.
We actually have Debbie on the line, so why don't we go ahead and go to her, and then when we're done with her, we will then talk more about the Kvatch, because I want people to learn more about that. I happen to have one, my wife has one.
And remind me, because I wanted to spend a few minutes today on Tiger Woods chart.
Oh, okay. All right, we can do that too. All right, Debbie, you're on the line with David Hawthorne, and again, he needs Debbie.
Hi. My birth date is 10/2/59.
Okay,
I was born. Oh, sorry.
That's October.
I'm excited.
2nd.
I can't believe I got through.
October 2nd.
Yes.
1959. There we go. October 2nd, 1959. Good.
And
that makes
my
you,
birthplace.
Already, that makes you a lot younger. And your time of birth.
My time of birth is 12:44 a.m.
So 0044, and where were you born?
North Hollywood, California.
Very nice. I lived there once upon a time. All right, good. So we're going to use, for Debbie, we're going to use October 2nd, 1959 at 12:44 a.m. in North Hollywood, California.
Yes.
Okay, very good. Now, again, we're using Vedic astrology. Put aside Western astrology. I love Western astrologers, but I also love Vedic astrology, which is what I use. And this gives what is called the Cancer rising sign ruled by the royal moon. There's only one of the 12 signs is ruled by the moon. And the sun and moon are royal luminary planets. So these are the king and queen of the planetary cabinet. Now, Cancer rising sign is a water sign. It is a movable sign. And it is a most creative sign and very much connected with family life as well. If I want something done creative, I'll give it to a Cancer. Whether it's writing a song, coming up with an advertising slogan, Cancer rising sign people are enormously creative. Now, Moon rules your chart. It is always good for you to wear white colors and pearls. Sun is favorable for you, so you can wear a ruby. Mars is favorable. You can wear a red coral. Mercury is favorable. You can wear an emerald. And Venus is favorable. You can wear a diamond. Two gemstones to stay away from would be yellow sapphire and blue sapphire. And for your chart, it's actually better for you not to wear brown colors, gray colors, dull colors, dark colors. Even black is not so ideal. I know it's a big fashion statement nowadays, but I would love to see you in white colors, emerald colors, ruby colors, nice rich colors like that. Now, okay. Moon ruling your chart is not sitting alone. Oh my gosh, you have a packed third house. You have Sun, Moon, Mercury, Mars, and the northern node of the Moon, Rahu, all sitting in the third house. Now, this makes you very independent, and you'll do very well working for yourself, doing things your own way. You have a very complex mind growing up, even from a young age. Lots going on with your mental development is because of all these planets. Now, the great thing is that Sun, Moon, Mars, and Mercury for you are favorable planets. They like being with each other. So that's a good situation. Now, the southern node of the Moon does cause a little bit of a problem. I mean, the northern node. See, in Vedic astrology, we use the northern node of the Moon, Rahu, and the southern node, Ketu. They're mathematical ecliptic points. They do cause the eclipse of the Sun and the Moon every single year since the beginning of time without fail. Now, it can be a total eclipse or a partial eclipse in this country or another country that we see or don't see. But nonetheless, they come back every single year and cause an eclipse. So we do have to watch out for their behavior in any particular chart. And you have a Rahu Ketu eclipse that is not ideal and needs to be managed. If you manage it, much smoother results. And I'll give you a couple of little simple remedies. For Rahu, what you want to do is to help afflicted persons. In India, we would just simply say, feed the lepers. So in America, you can donate to charities for cancer, AIDS, Parkinson, Alzheimer's. And for your Ketu, you want to help holy man, holy woman, spiritual organization. Now, two other great remedies for Rahu and Ketu, and these I don't tell everybody. I'm going to tell you because, see, your rising sign is 10 degrees, and you have Rahu and Ketu at 10 degrees. So they can cause an eclipse on you any time that they want. Now, it's not all the time, but from time to time, they can cause some darkness in your life. Now, the other remedy for Rahu is to hang a bird feeder in a tree, and in the morning before breakfast, you go out with a cup of bird seed and put it in the bird feeder. And for Ketu, you can donate to animal shelters for stray dogs. Now, okay. Your Rahu and Ketu are at 10 degrees, and your Moon is at 13 degrees. So it's not 100% impact, but it's pretty close. And this can bring highs and lows emotionally. Now, it gives you an enlightened heart. In other words, emotionally, there's a certain amount of enlightenment, but there's also a certain amount of restlessness. There's a lot of stuff going on with your heart and soul in this chart because of the Rahu Ketu influence. Now, Ketu's aspect on the first house says that you were born enlightened. You were born spiritual, and you need to take some time to time to be alone. You need to be a recluse once in a while. Take a weekend and just don't go out and see anybody. Just stay home and meditate, or go to a retreat, or go into a monastery or convent or an ashram for a weekend or a week or a month. From time to time, take that time to go within. You know, how can you go to the marketplace if you don't go to the bank? You know, so go within before you go without. So the spiritual path for you is very, very important. And there is a little bit of a K2 influence on Jupiter, which can disturb the liver, the gallbladder, the health, and issues with husband and children. So we're going to do a couple of remedies for this chart. Number one remedy, get yourself about a 10-carat pearl, a single pearl, at least 5 carats, up to 10 carats. Put it on a necklace, a gold or silver are both fine for you, but just put it on a necklace and put it on, leave it on. Sleep with it, swim with it, shower with it. That is your new best friend, a nice single pearl. You can also, in this chart, wear a ruby gemstone. I love your Venus. You have Venus in the second house. You have a very sweet voice, very melodic voice. If you ever wanted to sing, if you ever wanted to do voiceovers, you have a great voice with Venus in the second house. It's very melodic, and it's also very royal. I love your voice with Venus in the second house. And it says you could have some status in life through property, through parents, through fixed assets, and through the fine arts, healing arts, or performing arts. So there must be a real nice, strong connection. Did you ever sing or take voice lessons or anything?
Every once in a while I sing with my husband, but that's about it.
Okay, well, I love Venus in the second house. Now, you can wear, I would definitely wear a pearl. You really need a pearl in this chart more than anything else. Now, you do have the eighth ruler in the sixth house, so be careful. What happened here is that, unfortunately, and I don't want to be too strong on this, but about a year and a half ago, you finished 16 years of Jupiter, which is connected with husband and children and education and investments, and now you're in 19 years of Saturn. And Saturn rules the eighth house, so it is good for you to get involved in research, language, mystical experiences, and occult knowledge. And these can be connected with healthcare, alternative healthcare, medicine, law, finance, social work, psychology, and service to humanity. And during this time, I would absolutely, I would not wear dark colors. I would not wear black colors. I would not wear a blue sapphire gemstone. I would not wear any black gemstones or black pearls. That's negative for you. No, for your chart, not good. But it does seem that you're in a time of life where it's going to be connected with service to humanity, some hard work, but mystical knowledge is okay. You can do some research. Do you have your own business? Have you had your own business?
I'm getting ready to start something on my own.
Okay.
So
it will become very successful starting July 2011. So you can work from now to July 2011. You're going to find yourself doing a lot of hard work. There's going to be some attention on your health. You're okay with your health? You need to work on it a little bit, I think.
Yeah, I think I'm okay. I have a problem with my shoulder right now, but it's nothing major.
Okay, is that the right shoulder?
Yes.
Okay, so there's an impact in your third house, and that can cause trouble with the right shoulder, the right ear, the right side. So, but you're in Saturn, and I want to help. I'm just the weatherman telling you where you are, and my point is that while you're in Saturn, very, very important remedy for this for the whole 19 years, but especially for the next year and a half, because you're in double Saturn until July 2011. Then you go into Saturn Mercury, and Mercury's going to be lots of relief for you, and it's much more connected with your you can do writing. You can see the Mars ruling your career is in the House of Independence. Mercury ruling writing is in the House of Independence. Sun ruling wealth and status is in the House of Independence. Moon ruling your chart is in the House of Independence. So there's a but all those are in the house under the influence of both Rahu and Ketu. So it keeps things hidden. It keeps things, you know, there's an eclipse or some darkness. But during this double Saturn, what I would do is every Saturday or every few Saturdays, we need to help the poor and the needy or the elderly. So that's food, clothing, shelter, donations, and start minding. I wouldn't buy a black car. Don't buy dark things in the future. Stay away from it. Not ideal for you. Somebody comes up in the middle of the night in a black car and wants you to go someplace. Don't get in that car. You're in Saturn, and so things are going to slow down considerably. It's going to force you to look at your health. It's going to force you to look at your finances. Make sure that all your legal issues are in writing, you know, especially inheritance, windfall, insurance settlement, lottery winnings. This all has to be in writing. There is some connection here with litigation and disputes, financial issues. So just help the poor and the needy. Don't wear the dark colors and strengthen your benefics. Get yourself a nice big fat pearl, or also you can visit my website and look at the planetary remedy called the Mystical Pendant. That would be a good remedy for this chart, absolutely.
And we're going to be talking
Debbie, thank you for taking the plunge, calling in, and giving us your birth information. I hope this reading is helpful to you.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling, Debbie. Hope you keep listening. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, and we're going to go ahead and keep moving on here, David, since we have them on the line. We have BJ. I believe she's here in Santa Barbara, and BJ, are you ready?
Let me just put up a new horoscope here.
All right, let you do that. But
I need the person's name?
Barbara or BJ? BJ is when I was a kid.
But it's Barbara is your given name, your birth name?
Yes.
Okay.
Barbara Jean?
Yeah, it's whatever people are going by. It doesn't matter.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't cause any issue. Okay. Now, Barbara, let me have your date of birth.
May the 2nd, 1944, at 6:50 at night.
So that's 1850. And where were you born?
Long Beach, California.
Have you called in the past, Barbara?
No, but I listen to this radio station regularly because they have great contests and shows on.
Very good. All right, love to do a reading for you here, Barbara. So
thank
I'm
you.
Using May 2nd, 1944.
Right.
I'm using 6:50 p.m. in Long Beach, California.
That's right.
All right. Good. So this is a good chart. I have some very good news for you. Next March, you know, a year and 1 month from now,
okay.
So 13 months from now, you are going through a major change of life, and it's positive. You're actually going into a 19-year cycle that for your chart is not only good, it's actually called Raj Yoga Karaka. It's a kingly yoga. You're going to go into 19 years of Saturn, and for your chart, Saturn is absolutely a favorable planet. It does not cause any harm whatsoever.
Oh, good.
Now, what I would do, though, is in March 2011, go out and treat yourself to at least 2-carat up to 5-carat blue sapphire gemstone and wear that on the middle finger of the left or right hand or as a pendant on a chain. The blue sapphire for you is good. Now, let's get back to where we are now and who you are. So at the time of your birth, if you looked east on the horizon, the seventh sign of the zodiac was ascending or rising, and this is called Tula Lagna, which means Libra rising sign. And it is one of the air signs. There are only three air signs. These are the intellectuals in life, and Libra is ruled by Venus, so it's connected with entertainment. So, for example, Johnny Carson is a famous Libra rising sign. Clint Eastwood, famous Libra rising sign. But also there's a woman saint by the name of Amici who is Libra rising sign. Libras are very intelligent people, absolutely intelligent people. They ask brilliant questions until they own knowledge. Now, Venus ruling your chart has gone into the seventh house. It connects you with relationships, partnerships, and marriage. It is good for you to wear a diamond gemstone. That will help your Venus. You also have Sun ruling income and gains in the house of marriage. So you can gain income through marriage, and you can gain marriage. And Sun in this chart is not in Taurus, where it is in Western astrology, because we're not using the tropical zodiac.
Oh.
We're using the zodiac at the time of your birth. If an astronomer would see on the day of your birth, if you asked a Western astrologer, where is Sun, the astrologer would say, oh, Sun is in Taurus. But if you turned around and asked an astronomer would look in the sky and say, oh, no, it's not in Taurus. Sun is in Aries. So you have what is called an exalted sun in Aries. It gives you a very fiery soul, makes you independent, movable, not afraid to go places and do things. But sun in Aries is very good, and it does. You have a packed seventh house. You have three planets in the seventh house, Venus, Mercury, and Sun. So this says that your relationships are complicated, but there can be a lot of success in relationships. And any chance that your husband is from a different state or area or country?
He must be, because I'm not married. I never have been.
You've never been married?
But I've had a lot of male relationships, quite a few.
Hold on. I want to find out. I need to tell you why you haven't been married. It's usually in the chart. See, in your chart...
Because
really...
I never pick appropriate people to me.
Well, that's good, but there's still an explanation in the chart. I want
to
find it. All right. Okay, your rising sign is 10 degrees, and you have this Rahu K2 at 8 degrees. And your Rahu is afflicting your second house and your fourth house, and K2 is afflicting the 8th house and the 12th house. So these cause an eclipse. Second house is continuation of family life. Fourth house is your domestic peace and marriage. Eighth house is the marital bond itself, and the 12th house is intimacy with your spouse. So you have this Rahu K2 influence. So if you were just starting out in life and you said, I do want to marry, I do want to have good relationships, I would say to you, we need to propitiate Rahu and K2. We need to do some remedies for them, some charities for them, so that they stop causing an eclipse in those four areas of your life. And the thing we do for Rahu is we help afflicted persons. And for K2, we help holy persons. But
help, what was that? I didn't hear the second thing you said.
For Rahu, you help afflicted persons, and for K2, you help holy persons.
Holy?
Holy. A holy man, a holy woman,
oh
or a
my
spiritual
God.
Organization. Okay. Now, you do have Venus ruling your chart and Sun ruling income and gains in the house of partnerships, relationships, and marriage. So typically... that's a good situation. Now, you also have Mercury there ruling the 12th house. And Mercury, 12th house is losses and separation. It doesn't look like Mercury's causing any affliction. Oh, actually, it does. It's only 1 degree from the Sun. So that does cause... It says that money comes in one door and goes out the other door. Okay, you got that? All right.
Yeah.
Now, because Moon rules your house of career and is placed in the 11th house, says you can gain income through public favor. So get in front of the public. Hotels, restaurants, hospitality, hospitals, import, export, teaching, entertainment. Get in front of the public. You will do well. Again, I think you're very brilliant because you're a Libra rising sign. And you have Guru, Jupiter, in the 10th house of career. So your profession, you would have done well as an attorney, as a teacher, publisher, consultant, or advisor. So what kind of work did you do?
Teacher. Substitute teacher, because I had health problems.
Yeah, so Jupiter in your 10th house gives one teaching capability, and then it's ruled by Moon, and it's in the house of income, and you can gain through the public, so teaching children is fine. Now, health for you is ruled by a Venus and... Venus is a little bit weak in your chart, so wearing a diamond gemstone will help you with your health. I would also recommend a blue sapphire gemstone. You have a weak Saturn, it's only 1 degree. So weak Saturn causes some insecurity, some fear, some not trusting other people, but it also weakens the teeth, neck, back, spine, knees, joints, and ankles, and it undermines the strength of the fifth house, which is children. So it can limit the number of children. How many children?
None.
Okay, so Saturn is weak. So strengthening Saturn with a blue sapphire is good. Now, you will go into Saturn next March for 19 years. Now, there's the last 16 years, it's a 16-year cycle altogether, you have been running Jupiter, and Jupiter rules your independent self-expression, and it's in the house of career, and it's connected with teaching. But you could have studied law, by the way. You would have been made a great attorney. But...
thank you.
But studying law, being a teacher, a professor, a consultant, advisor, publisher, that works for you. But I need you to be aware that about 16 months ago, you went into the final sub-period of Jupiter, which is the northern node of the moon, Rahu, which is an eclipse. And it's causing an eclipse in your house of career, your house of wealth and status and family life and speech. Be very careful of what you say, Be careful about what goes into the mouth and what comes out of the mouth. Be careful about food poisoning, addictions. Rahu is also aspecting the fourth house. It can cause some disturbance where you live or relocation or some property issues. It's aspecting the house of health as well. So you have the northern node of the moon aspecting the sixth house. That can cause hidden health problems or misdiagnosed health problems.
Oh.
So you have to be a little careful. Now, what the remedy for Rahu is to feed the birds in the morning and do some charity service donations for afflicted persons. Now, I'm not trying to create any fear or tension, but I don't want you taking chances over the next year. You're in the final sub-period of Jupiter, which is Rahu. This is when we lost Princess Diana. So don't be driving through a Paris tunnel 100 miles an hour at midnight drinking champagne. Not good.
Right.
So don't take chances. Don't take risks. Don't bungee jump, rock climb, that type of thing. But do a couple of remedies for your chart, and next March, I think it's much better when you go into Saturn, if you strengthen your Saturn. So I hope these points have been helpful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, BJ, for calling.
Goodbye.
All right, bye-bye. And we are here at Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. My guest is David Hawthorne, the Vedic astrologer, has a website called astroview.com, AstroView.com. He has a book called Astrology for Life, where you can become your own Vedic astrologer. And he has other information for you, courseworks, again, to assist you in that process. And he also has, as you've mentioned before, David, you mentioned the Kavach, which is a mystical pendant that you have available. But it's not just a piece of metal. It has some very interesting and intricate pieces of information on it that I want you to kind of go into right now. Tell us a little bit about that, and then we'll go in very briefly into Tiger Woods' chart before we wrap up.
Okay, good. Thank you, Richard. So I've been studying Vedic astrology for 22 years, and I did receive my master's degree in professorship in Vedic astrology from India. Now, about 12 years ago, my professor in India told me, well, first off, what happened is that the purpose of astrology is to help people understand how the planets are operating, to understand when they are operating, and to understand planetary remedies for their charts, because nobody has a perfect chart. We all have some weakness, some affliction, debilitation, or bad placement. Now, if there was no remedial measures, then astrology would be worthless. The whole purpose is to say, okay, this is the truth, this is how the planets are operating, this is when they are operating, and this is what you can do to fix your chart. My new slogan is fix your chart, fix your life. Fix your chart, fix your life. Very, very simple. But the traditional ways in India was that all the ancient kings and queens and royal persons of India always had an astrologer in their court, and the astrologer would advise the proper gemstones. And they would wear the gemstones and the crowns and pendants and rings, because the gemstones bring the planetary energy into the physiology. So this was known as Raj Vidya, kingly knowledge. So this is not for couch potatoes. This is for leaders. This is for kings. So I asked my professor, I said, you know, I know that traditionally we wear the gemstones to strengthen the planets, but not everybody is a king. We can't all afford to run out and buy 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6, or even 7 gemstones for our charts.
Mm-hmm.
I said, is there some other way that we can strengthen our planets without the expensive gemstones? And he said, yes. He said, you can wear the mystical numbers that correspond to the planets, therefore representing the gemstones. So the ancient rishis of India assigned 9 mystical numbers for each planet. And what they would do is they'd take those 9 numbers and engrave them in a little yantra, a little piece of metal, a little silver medallion, and they would wear that as a kavach. Kavach means protective shield. So 12 years ago, my professor invited me to try one, so I put one on, and I just thought I would test it. I worked for 1 year, and at the end of 1 year, I had this sensation that the mystical pendant had contributed to my life. In fact, I really had the sensation that I had become Moses walking through a Red Sea. In other words, there was a tsunami over there, there was a shark over there, but I was dry, I was unencumbered. I really felt like it was contributing. I felt like it had some power, some energy. So I got one for my wife, I got them for my 3 children, we've worn them for years, I started sharing them with my clients, I recommend them to my clients. I have about 3,000 clients wearing them, and many of them send me, you know, thank you cards and nice emails and letters saying, you know, how much they appreciate them. So my experience with the mystical pendant for the last 12 years has been very, very positive, very favorable. So I just think it's a great economical and powerful way to strengthen your benefic planets without the expense of the gemstone.
Before we go into the Tiger Woods issue, I received a phone call from someone who wanted to get a reading for someone else, which was fine. Gave me the name, the birth date, and place. However, could not remember whether it was 6 a.m. or 6 p.m. Explain why it's important that we need to know when the person is born and really exacting information. How you can also work around that sometimes.
Okay, very good. The big issue is that in Vedic astrology, we read the horoscope. You know, horoscope means the hour and the observed. So one who reads the time of birth, you know, reads the horoscope. But the point is, in Vedic astrology from India, we read the horoscope from the ascendant or rising sign, and that happens to change every 2 hours of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not consistent. It's not like every day at 2 a.m. is this rising sign, at 4 a.m. is this rising sign. It's changes because of the moon's position. So it's the rising sign is much, much more specific to an individual than the moon sign, because the moon sits in one sign for 2.5 days, and it's much more specific than the sun sign, because the sun sits in a sign for 30 days. So anybody can be Leo or Virgo or whatever. So the rising sign changes every 2 hours of the day, and we need the rising sign, you know, to read the chart, to read it properly. So, yes, so if somebody's born at 6 a.m., they may have an Aries rising sign, and it's exactly opposite Libra if they're born at 6 p.m.
Okay.
So two different charts, two different readings. We definitely, now if someone doesn't have the specific time, first off, that's pretty rare, because, see, by law, doctors have to assign the time of death,
mm-hmm.
and they have to assign the time of birth. So typically, that birth time in this century, or in the 1900s, and 2000s,
mm-hmm.
those things have to be written down somewhere. Sometimes they're in a birth certificate, a baby book, a hospital record, the county courthouse. But if somebody has their specific time of birth or close to it, then the more accurate the birth time, the more accurate the reading.
Okay. Then what I'm going to do is I'm going to suggest that the gentleman's name is Eli. That was the name that was given. If he were to email you at david@astroview.com with the information, then you would be able to help him out.
Correct.
Okay. Now, you are going to share with us before we wrap up. We have about 5 minutes to go here, and you probably could have told us this 6 months ago, but it would not have meant anything to us. And unfortunately, we're always looking, using hindsight or 20/20 vision, looking back at celebrities in the news. But you can actually take a look at the person's chart and say, this is the reason why their life took this particular turn or that. So tell us a little bit about what you know about Tiger Woods.
Yeah, correct. And it's a great point that you bring out. It would be really ideal if astrologers or other people would be proactive and say, oh, 6 months from now, this is going to happen or that's going to happen. And once in a while, I've done things like that. But first off, there's 6 billion people on Earth. We can't go look at every single chart and try to look into the future, what's going on. I don't even look at my own chart for the future that much, you know, unless I feel like there's something's not right. If I feel like I'm swimming against the stream,
mm-hmm.
then I'll stop and go look at my chart and say, what transit's going on? Why am I getting a sore throat? You know, but when things do come up, you know, I do pull out the chart and take a look at it, and most of the celebrities' birth data is available. There are certain astrological websites where they go and get birth certificates, and they know the correct information, so we can trust those things. And I do teach Vedic astrology, and I have quite a few DVDs that I've done of different celebrities' charts, like Jane Fonda or Hugh Hefner or, you know, George Bush or whatever. I've done a lot of these different charts. And I love to do the ones like Elliot Spitzer and other people that get themselves in trouble to find out what's going on.
Yeah.
And this is what happened with Tiger Woods recently. This was just such a classic example of the transit. See, all significant events in life are connected with the transit. See, there's nothing more powerful than the present moment. And so what happened is that back in early November, transit K2 started to afflict Tiger Woods' natal Rahu, and vice versa. So transit Rahu was afflicting his K2. to the exact degree. And it started in November, and then they went stationary. So what happens is that Rahu and Ketu will just stop at a particular degree. And so they stop for all of November, all of December, all of January, and all of February. And in March, they'll start to move. And so this caused an eclipse in his chart. This is what I'm saying. Plus, his eighth ruler of marital bond was transiting his sign of debilitation for 8 months. And so it really showed in his chart that he could have an eclipse, and it can be connected with the marital bond. My prediction was that he couldn't show his face before the 1st of March, and I'm predicting he probably won't play in a tournament until the 1st of June. I think he will be back. There's something crazy about our society where, who's this basketball player in the L.A. Lakers that everybody loves?
Oh, Kobe Bryant, uh-huh.
You know, he's had problems. Michael Vick has had problems. Other people have problems. And they let them back in sooner or later. Even David Letterman confessed on national television that he was having an affair. And I guess because he was proactive about it, people let it slide. I think what happened with Tiger, just in all fairness to him, I think because he was such a good son and did what his father told him and, became very successful, I think what happened was something like that. And I'm speculating on this. But I think that his father said, I have cancer, I'm getting ready to die, would you make me a happy father by getting married and starting a family?
Mm.
And I think Tiger Woods was just being kind to his father and did what his father said. I think he was way too immature. I think nobody minds a young guy who's a millionaire, and he's got a yacht, and he's got a plane, and he's a playboy. He's in Paris 1 week, and then San Francisco another week, and he's having affairs. If you're a playboy and you're single, you're eligible, and everybody says, okay, he's a young guy, he can do that. But of course, when you marry, come on, if you marry, then you got to make that commitment. So right. I think he was just completely immature, and he has a debilitated moon in his chart, and that tells me he's emotionally really, there's some problems underneath emotionally. And once in a while, you'll see it on the golf course because he cannot stand to lose or to screw up, mm-hmm. and he gets really upset. He's not really in control of his emotions. He's got a debilitated moon. This is so O.J. Simpson. O.J. Simpson had his wonderful Rahu Mars in the 10th house of career, made him a tremendous athlete. But his moon and his Mercury were so beat up in his chart, he could not. He wasn't on top of his self emotionally or intellectually.
Yeah, yeah.
And so Tiger has a little problem there with the emotional
sure.
state.
Well, I want to thank you again for joining us on the program. We'd like to have you back again in June. I'll touch base with you to schedule that if you're available in the month of June to take more calls and assist more people in understanding better their lives, where they've been, where they are, and where they're going and why.
Richard, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. You're a great host, and I appreciate your audience, so thanks for having me on.
You bet. David Hawthorne, my guest, and again, the website is astroview.com, and his website is david@astroview.com. I'm Richard Dugan, and the website for us, and we are linked to astroview.com, is richarddugan.com. Send me an email. Until next Saturday at this same time, this is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of Joe's choices. Love to Lull. Have a great week.